honors those that honor you. You know, if you honor authority, if you honor somebody that God has put in your life, God blesses you for doing that. You know, and a lot of people don't realize that, and they think, oh, I ain't going to say nothing good. I ain't going to do nothing, because they feel like they're doing too much for somebody. But you really can't. And when you honor somebody, God will honor you. And I want to honor Brother Scotty, because he's been a man of God, and he's done a lot of work over here, and nobody knows all the things he's done, you know, and that in eternity that God's going to be blessing him for. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you, Lord, tonight for everyone that's come this way. And I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts tonight through your word. In Jesus' name. If you have your Bible, look with me to the book of Joel, chapter 2, in verse 23. It says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat and fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, and my great army which I sent among you." I started reading this scripture here a while back, and all at once it just dawned on me what a powerful promise this was. I mean, when you think about, he said, "I will restore the years that the locust has eaten." And, you know, the locusts usually were a result of disobedience. It brought a curse. Usually it was because of a curse, because they had disobeyed God, and the locusts would come and eat up their crops and all these things like this. And I was thinking about all the years that, you know, that I've served the Lord, and how many times I've been disobedient, and how that, you know, that you didn't reap, you know, how you wasted some of your life and wasted some of your years that you should have been doing more for God and things like that. And then he said here that if you when this happens, he said, "I will restore the years the locust has eaten." And I thought, man, I'm going to claim that promise there. That's one I'm on. I want that promise, because I want the years that's been stolen. I want the things the devil's stolen out of my life. I want it restored. And then I began to realize something, that when the Holy Ghost comes, he comes to restore that which was taken. He comes... Jesus said that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost, when he comes into your life, he comes to restore back in your life what's been taken out. What, you know, he begins to put faith back in you, because one of the first things that happened when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, one of the things that they lost was faith in God. They began to live by knowledge instead of the Spirit of God. They wouldn't live in by the spiritual realm like they were before, and by the Spirit they were living by their natural senses. And then when Jesus came, he said, I'm going to restore that which was lost. And another thing that I think was restored was to see how big God really was. Because there's something happens when people start getting away from God. God is not as big to them anymore. When you start getting away from God and away from the Spirit of God, the devil tries to blind you and make you see the problems and the cares and everything in your life, and make it seem like those things are so big, and it starts seeming like God is little. But on the other hand, whenever there's an outpouring, a revival, when the Holy Ghost begins to be poured out in your life and you start getting closer to God, all at once God starts getting bigger and bigger, and you start thinking, there ain't no problem I can't overcome. There ain't no sickness God can't heal. There ain't no, you know, any miracle I need, God can do it. You know, He starts doing that to us, because it's something, it's the Holy Ghost. That's part of His job. And that's what He was talking about right here when He said, "I'll pour out the former rain moderately, the former and the latter rain in the first month." He's talking about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And whenever He come to restore that which was lost. And, you know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, if a thief be caught, he has to repay sevenfold. And So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how does God restore things in our life? How, and you know what I began to realize was that God does things in stages. He does things when you come to God and you start serving Him, He'll lead you to do something. He don't just dump everything out on you and say, okay, I'm going to just give you all these things the devil stole, I'm just going to pour it out on you. He don't do it like that. He causes you to obey Him. And when you start obeying God and you start getting full of the Holy Ghost, He'll lead you to go do this. And then when you do that, something He'll add something into your life. And then you'll go do something else. And then He'll add something else into your life. But it's a walk of faith that as you're walking with God, God begins to restore back into your life the things that the devil has stolen out of your life. And I remember when my brother had gotten, he was serving God and he got away from God. And he was on meth, and his life was all messed up. And I started praying, and then I started reading that scripture one day, and God just spoke to me, that scripture where David's family and all of his men were kidnapped by the Amalekites. And how that when the David and his men got there, their wives and their children and everything they had was taken and gone. And they began to cry and weep so hard, and they wanted to kill David because they felt like he was responsible for it. And David was greatly distressed because of this. And you just have to think about it. Here he was thinking, I'm serving God, and I'm trying to do the will of God, and now then the devil's done come in and stole something out of my life. But you know what? When David, he had already realized that God was a God of restoration, I believe, because he'd already seen how God had used him when he slew a lion and he slew a bear, because a lion come in there and took one of his sheep, and then he went out and he got it and he brought it back. And then a bear got one and he got it and he brought it back. And he slew the thing that was trying to take it away from him. Then he went into the city and he saw Goliath there. And he saw how Goliath was stealing the fear, causing people to fear and not have faith and trust in God. And he took that back. But he knew that God was a God that takes things back. And so when he did, he called upon the priest to come. And the priest began to pray and to seek the will of God about what to do. And he said, shall I pursue? And he said, pursue and you shall recover all. But see, the Holy Ghost was telling him, you can take back what's been stolen if you will just believe God. But it has to be done by faith. Because if you sit around, if you look at your circumstances and you start looking and saying, well, you know, it's just too much. I'm just so depressed. I just can't do it. I just am going to give up. You can't do it. See, we got to see God in the situation. We got to be able to see how big God is right in the middle of our trial, right in the middle of what you're going on. Because, see, I think this is what makes the difference between being able to walk by faith and not walk by faith. If you're looking at circumstances and the problems that are going on around you, God's going to seem like He's way off, and He's not going to seem like He's that big of a God. But when you're living by faith, faith makes God real. Faith makes the things of God real. And so when David began to pray, and he told him to pursue, and he said, you can recover all. Well, see, that's what God told me about my brother. And I started claiming my brother. And I said, Lord, give me my brother. And he said, pursue, and you shall recover all. And so I knew in my heart that my brother was, I was going to get him back. And so I started praying, and then the first thing that happened was he got busted. The next weekend he got busted. And then the next weekend he got busted again. And then they was talking about sending him to prison. And so he decided he would go to a rehab because he didn't want to go to prison. But you know what? He got saved in that rehab, and he stayed there for 6 months, and they let him get out. They dropped all charges against him. He don't even have it on his record anymore. He got out and started serving God. As a matter of fact, the probation officer sentenced him to a year of church because he had to go to drug school, and every week he had to go to drug school. And she said, I'm going to call church drug school, and said, you sign his ticket every week. And so I was signing his ticket. Every week he'd come in, he'd be at church, and I'd sign his ticket that he'd been to church for a whole year. And then they dropped the charges against him. But he was serving God. And you know what? That was God. That was God. That was how God did it, you know. But the thing of it was, I couldn't see how he was going to do it. I didn't know how he was going to do it. And when he got busted, my mother called me and she was screaming and crying, come home. I was on vacation. you know, come home and get him out of jail. I said, I ain't getting him out of jail. I said, he stay in there until I get back. Oh, he can't stay in there that long. Yeah, he's going to stay there. And then when I come home, I help get him out of jail and things like this. But the thing of it was stressful. It was stressful when he got busted. It was stressful when he started going through this stuff. But the thing of it was, I knew God had given me a word that he was going to restore my brother. And you know what? He did. My brother got out and got a job, got him a truck, got him a wife, got children, got him a house, everything, you know. God blessed him with it. But God will do the same. But see, God is a God of restoration. God wants to restore things in our life. He wants to give us back. If you notice that scripture where it says, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And that word, that, people always think, well, he just come to seek and save sinners. But it said he came to save that which was lost. And I believe that which was lost was, one of the things was faith. I think one of the things that was lost was faith was lost when man sinned. But Jesus came back, and that's one of the first things he did when he come. You know, when he would do it, perform a miracle or something, and when the woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd to touch him, he said, I hadn't seen such faith in all of Israel. He said, thy faith has made thee whole. In other words, she was standing back and she was looking at Jesus and she was seeing how big God was. And she pressed through that crowd because she could have been stoned to death for being, because she had an issue of blood. She wasn't supposed to be in a crowd of people. And she pressed through that crowd to touch the hem of his garment. But see, faith was motivating her. And she was seeing how big God was. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she touched the hem of his garment. And he said, I feel virtue has gone out of me. And then when they let the man down through the roof that was sick, and they tore the roof off and let somebody back down, and Jesus healed him. And every time he would heal him, he'd say, I haven't, you know, seen such faith in Israel. You know, he'd say, this is faith. This is faith that caused this to happen. And so this the thing of it that's going to cause us to get back the years that the locust has eaten is faith. It's faith. Faith in action. Faith causes us to step out and begin to go forward in God and to take back the things that the devil has stolen. Glory to God. I remember David, when the lion and the bear came, David, because, see, he, right before this had happened, he just got anointed. He was anointed to be king. The Holy Ghost was poured on him. The Spirit of God was poured on him. And I believe I believe he knew something about the anointing. I believe when that anointing was poured on him, I believe he realized there was something inside of him was telling him, don't let the devil take nothing. Whatever he takes, you take it back. And I believe when he saw that bear steal that sheep, he said, you're giving it back. And he took it and he slew the lion. Then when the bear took it, he done the same thing with the bear. Because the anointing on the inside of him was telling him, this is what's going to happen. But you know what? I believe that the body of Christ in this hour, as we haven't really seen how big God is. We really hadn't seen how big God is. As a matter of fact, most of the time, people are doubting if they're really saved or not. Much less to see a great miracle or to see how big God is. It's like the devil's making everybody question themselves whether you're really right with God, or are you really right with God, or, you know, you're not right with God. If you was, you wouldn't have got mad or this or that. And the devil tries to cause people to doubt their walk with God. And so it makes them not see how big God is. But when we start knowing, see, we got to get past the point of whether or not we're saved or not. We got to get past that point and know that we know that we know that we're saved. Because if you don't know that, you got to know that before you can take any ground spiritually. Because if you don't, you're going to be staying around that same spot all the time. You're never going to go any further. But once you get it settled in your heart and you know that you know that you know that you're saved, you know that God is with you, and He said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you, then you start going forward in God. You get filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost and be filled with the Spirit. And then keep on taking ground. Keep on reading the Word. Keep on praying. Because all through the Bible, when what God would do, even when, like for instance, when He sent Moses into Egypt, you know, He had to go in there and lead a bunch of people out of Egypt, and they had to believe that God was with him. And not only that, but Pharaoh wasn't going to turn loose of them because unless he knew God was with them. And so when he went there, God did these signs and miracles to let them know that God was with him, to let them know how big God was. And he brought them out of Egypt, and they come to the Red Sea, and then he rolls back the Red Sea, and they go across on dry ground. And you know what God was doing? He was trying to show them how big he really was. But you know what? They still were murmuring and complaining. Even when they seen water come out of the rock, and they seen God do all the manna come out of heaven, all the things that were happening to them, God was showing them how big he was. But yet they still were doubting and still complaining about what God was doing. And you know, people said, well, if I'd have been back in there in that days, I wouldn't have been doing that. Yeah, you would have. We'd probably done the same thing. If we do it today, we'd have done it back then. You know, we've seen great miracles and seen things happen. But the thing of it is that God is, the only way we can really see God and see how big God is through faith. If you start departing from faith, the Bible said you'll make shipwreck. And you know what? I was listening to this song. I heard this guy singing, and it was talking about how God is bigger than any mountain. I mean, it wasn't that song. It was God. God is bigger than any problem or anything that we have in life. But it was a really good song. It kind of steered something up on the inside of me. And I started thinking about it, and I thought, man, God is a mighty big God. He's a big God. He's bigger than all your problems. He's bigger than anything that could possibly happen in your life. And so if you realize that He is your Father, He's on your side, He wants you to know that He's going to help you, He's going to restore things, then when we face something in life, we don't have to be afraid. Jesus would say, fear not, only believe. But you know what? If you're not prayed up and if you're not seeking God when something tough happens, fear will grab you. Fear will grab your heart, and all at once you'll be like, you know, you'll start getting scared. But the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the shield of breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, because the devil is looking for people that are not prepared for what's coming in their life. But you know what? You can be prepared for anything that's coming, no matter how big it is. And I want to ask you a question. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? Because you need to know why. So when the devil starts questioning you, you'll be able to say, I know I'm saved because of this, because of that. But you know what the Scripture says? By this shall all men know you're my disciple, that you have love one toward another. It didn't say because you was casting out devils or because you was doing this or that. It said because you have love one toward another. And so that tells me that if you have the nature of God in your life, if you have been born again, if you've been born of the Spirit of God, and you know you've been saved, that means that the most important thing you can do is walk in the love of God. It means that's the most important thing, because when you're walking in the love of God, you just know that you know that you know that everything's all right. You know that you're a child of God. You know that God's on your side. But if you're not walking in the love of God, you're not going to feel that way. You ain't going to feel like that everything. It's easy to believe the lie of the devil if you're not walking in the love of God. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 3, It says to be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the height, the depth of God, and to know all the fullness of God through the love of God. Because love is the nature of God. It's the character of God. And of course, in Mark chapter 16, it said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In other words, if you believe the gospel, if you believe that Jesus is with you, he said, these signs will follow you. See, God wants to do signs in these hours in our life. He wants to do miracles because he wants people to see how big he really is. And he wants to do it through us. And I was thinking about, if you know, sometimes we just need to think about what all God has done. What he's done in our life. I remember when I got saved and I gave my life to the Lord, and how that my life was all messed up. I had all kind of tickets that I had against me. I was facing some jail time. I just had a lot of problems. I had some relationships that needed to be broken off. And here I was trying to rededicate my life to God. And I remember one day I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, you know all the problems I've got. And I said, but I give you my life today. I said, I totally surrender to you, and I want to do your will. And you know what? In 1 month's time, all my problems were gone. All my tickets were paid. All the relationships were broken off in my life. All the things that was pulling me down and destroying me, it was gone. God had fixed them all. Because I began to just take one step at a time going toward God. And that's what God wants. He wants us just to believe him when he says, trust in me and just start going forward in God. And when you do, you'll start seeing your problems will start disappearing. You'll start seeing that God will take care of things one by one as you begin to go forward in him. But if you don't, you know, if you start looking at your problems will look bigger than God. You can magnify your problems and make your molehill look like a mountain. But when you start getting your eyes on the Lord and start living by faith, all at once God starts getting bigger. You know what? Church is supposed to be about? Making God bigger. When we come to church, we need to go out of here with a bigger expectation of our God. We need to walk out saying, my God is bigger than any problem. Man, God, did you see what God done in church tonight? Did you see, you know, I'm so inspired because of what so-and-so said. You know, God wants it to be something that builds your faith up and causes us to see how big God really is. Glory to God. You know what? God rolled back the Red Sea when the children of Israel started to go across. He rolled back the Jordan River when Joshua started to go across. He caused the sun to stand still when Joshua was in battle. He said, told the sun to stand still. I mean, you think about the sun standing still. That's a big deal. He said, stand still, and he did that for a man. Then when Hezekiah prayed, and he was praying that he would live, not die, and God sent Isaiah to him and said, the sun will stand still 10 degrees as a sign to let you know you're going to live. The sun stood still. I mean, people say, oh, that stuff didn't happen. Well, you know what? They've done some scientific studies, and they found that there was actually time that was missing that somehow they couldn't explain it until they went and started looking in the Bible, and they found these places in the Bible where the sun had stood still, and they said, there's that time that was missing. There's that place that was missing, and we couldn't explain it, but now we know why this was missing, and because in space, everything is in order, time and everything. And so God is bigger than all those things, and then when you think about how that the walls of Jericho come tumbling down, when they marched around it seven times. You think about how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown in a fiery furnace and it didn't even hurt them, didn't even singe their clothes, didn't even singe a hair on their head. That's how big God is. And you know what? I think they saw that. I think that they realized before they got thrown in that fire, I think they realized God was bigger than the fire. And when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, I think they realized that God was bigger than those lions. And when we see how big God is in our life, it makes it a whole lot easier to see the things that we're fixing to go through or the things you're dealing with in your life. But if we can just pull aside and just begin to seek God and just start to see how big God really is, then all at once, there's something on the inside of you that's going to just start getting excited and saying, you know, God is bigger than this problem. I mean, I thought I had a big problem, but I ain't got no problem. God is bigger than all my problems. And you know, I remember Chambot used to say that you ain't got no problem. All you need is faith in God. And that's what God told me when I overdosed on drugs that night. And I was laying in my car. And I thought I was dying. And God visited me in that car. And as I lay there in that car, all at once I said, you ain't got no problem. All you need is faith in God. I never heard that statement a day in my life. I was a heathen. I got out and went inside, and there's all these drug addicts in this drug house and our trailer. And I go in there and I looked at them. I said, you ain't got no problem. All you need is faith in God. And they all looked at me like, you're crazy. You know? And then later on, I'm watching TV and listening to R.W. Schambach preaching, and he starts talking about, you ain't got no problem. All you need is faith in God. I said, man, that's what I was saying that night. And I never had heard of Schambach. But see, it was the Spirit of God on the inside of me, because that night, as I lay in that car, all at once I realized that faith in God was the key to all of people's problems in the earth. And it was like, I said, I wished I could get on a mountain with a microphone and scream out to the world that faith in God is the answer to all your problems. Because faith in God makes God real. It makes coming to church real. It makes everything real. It makes all the difference in the world. And you know what? Even the best of Christians, though, you know, you're not always going to be on top of the mountain. You're not always going to be God's man of power for the hour. You know, sometimes you're going to be in a place where your faith ain't so strong. Sometimes you're going to be in a place where you don't feel like going to church. Sometimes you're going to feel like that you know, God's way off somewhere. But you know what? You can draw nigh to God. You can draw nigh to Him, and you can take back, because the Holy Ghost wants you to take it back. See, this is a good thing. See, it's the will of God. And you say, yeah, but I don't know if God, you know, I've disappointed God, and I'm not as close to God as I used to be, and I don't know how He really feels about me. Well, I can tell you how He feels about you. He wants you to take it back. He wants you to come back to that place. He wants you to take back the things that the devil tried to steal from you. Because I want to tell you something, if you're not aggressive as a child of God, the devil will steal things out of your life. He'll steal your victory. He'll steal your eyesight. He'll steal your faith. He'll steal your love. He'll steal your joy. He'll steal everything from you if you let him take it. But if you decide, you ain't taking nothing else from me, devil, I'm going to take back everything you've stolen, plus I'm getting sevenfold more for that. Amen. Glory to God. Because God is bigger than all your problems. He's bigger than all your cares. He's, no matter what it looks like, glory to God, God can cause you to be a victorious. And you know, you look at Elijah. He raised the boy from the dead that had died. And the woman with the meal barrel and the oil, her oil, because she gave to the man of God first, that her meal barrel didn't run out for 3.5 years. I mean, that was a miracle. Every time she reached in that barrel, there was some more in there. And you know what? The devil tries to steal your prosperity. He'll try to steal your prosperity. And you know how he does it? By getting you to quit doing what you're supposed to do. Giving. If he can get you to quit giving, he'll start stealing from you. If he can get you to quit praying, he'll start stealing from you. If he can get you to quit going to church, he'll start stealing something from you. I used to say this, that the devil I used to tell people at church that if you are faithful to come to church and serve God, and then you decide, you get to a place where you quit coming to church and you don't think you have to go to church and you stay out of church for a long time, the devil will get a stronghold in your life. Then when you start to come back to church, it's not as easy as just to come right back like it was before, because the devil tries to put the stronghold in your life, and you've got to take it back. you got to say, nope, I'm taking back. I'm getting back on fire for God. I'm going to do the will of God. Amen. Glory to God. And because I've seen people that would start coming to church and somebody would come to their house and visit them right before church so they wouldn't go to church. They'd get out there and their tar would go flat on their car. And crazy stuff happened to them just to keep them from coming to church. But you know what? That just tells me that it's the will of God for you to be there. Yeah. Glory to God. You know, when I used to go down to, I still go down to Mississippi to convention, and which they've been having it over in Georgia. But every year, when it was time for me to go, something would always happen. I mean, somebody would go in the hospital, somebody would get sick, something would happen every time to try to stop me from going to that convention. And because I knew I was supposed to be there. And it you know, and I kind of dreaded it every year because I didn't know what was going to happen the next year, you know, trying to keep me from going. But I found out something that if I go, and I remember one of the last things that happened was my son got sick while right before I was fixing to leave to go to the convention. He got this infection in his body, and it was a staph infection, and they didn't know if it was, you know, if they was going to be able to get it under control. And they started giving him an antibiotic, and my flesh did not want to go on the convention. I wanted to stay here to make sure he was okay. And the Lord told me, he said, if you go on to convention, he said, that's what I want you to do. He said, that's what faith is telling you to do. He said, this is what's going to make your son get well quicker. And so I went on to convention, and when I got down there, the lady was singing a song. And when she started singing this song, God just spoke to me out of that song, and he said, I'm taking care of your son right now. And then after church was over, I called my son, and he said that the antibiotic was working and he was getting better from then on, and he got better. But I felt like that it was because that I had obeyed God and I went on down there. See, because the devil was trying to get me to back up with fear. And so that's what I'm trying to tell you tonight, that when you're facing situations, don't let fear back you down. If you know something's the will of God, do it. If you know it's the will of God, just go on forward, regardless of what it looks like, and trust in God. And God wants to be bigger. And you know, the more that you walk in the love of God, the more you're going to see how big God is. The Bible says, faith worketh by love. And so I'm just telling you tonight, if you want to see God bigger, if you want to sense God's presence in your life, do things that lets the love of God come through you. Show love to people. Minister, reach out to somebody. Help somebody. Do something. Let God work through you. And when you do that, you're going to feel like a Christian. You're going to feel more of God's presence in your life and His faith in your life. And there's something about when you feel that, you know God's with you, it's easier to trust Him. Glory to God, because you know, he said, we know that he hears us if we do those things he commands us to do. If we keep his commandments, we know he hears us when we pray. Glory to God. How many loves the Lord tonight?
Yes. Thank you.
Glory to God. How many believes God's bigger than any mountain? He's bigger than any problem you've got. He's bigger than anything that's going to happen in your life. Glory to God. And he's even bigger. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. I mean, I can think of some pretty big things, and he's bigger than that. I can think of how big God is, and he's bigger than that. He's bigger. I mean, when we see God one day face to face, and we realize how big he is, and we look back at the devil, he's going to be a little inchworm. You know, and here he was. This is some little thing that all we had to do was just squash it. You know, but here we was going through life, looking, letting him cause us to make us think that God was a little bitty God and the devil's a big old devil. But it's the other way around. Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you tonight, Lord, in the name.